Yo, welcome to JavaScript
Hello. Anthony, are you going to sign in as you as well, or you're going to just act as the host for today?
Jam. Let's see. I can go ahead and I can sign on.
Normally, I think you need two phones to do that. So,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just thought you were
I could
going to
sign
just
in on
like,
my computer.
but you won't be able to. Well, yeah, maybe sign in as you on the computer as well, so everyone can see the regulars. Hey everyone, welcome to JavaScript Jam. We do this every Wednesday, 12 p.m. in Pacific Standard Time, different time depending where your time zone is. And JavaScript Jam is an open mic for anything JavaScript or web development related. We like to run it with the audience in mind, and where whether you're a beginner or an expert, you are welcome to raise your hand, and you can kind of change the topic or comment on stuff. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we have kind of more the open mic format where people can come in and just raise whatever they think is interesting or topic for the day. And if you haven't already, go to javascriptjam.com and sign up for our newsletter. It is written by my co-host here, Anthony, who does a amazing job looking around what's happening in the ecosystem every week and sending out links to interesting stories, podcast episodes that are really relevant, and then a segment that he calls the story of the week in the JavaScript ecosystem that captures what was, the must-have thing you need to know this week that happened in the fast-moving world of JavaScript. And web development. So highly recommend go to javascriptjam.com and just hit subscribe and you'll get the newsletter. And that's usually where we start with what we're talking about each week. And you'll also find out when we go live with our episodes. And there it is. And this week's episode was the grand unifying theory of solid start, and fresh. We'll jump into that in a second. I'll start with intros. I am Ishan Nand, VP of Product at Edgio, a development platform for and CDN, an edge development platform. And then I'll let Anthony introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Anthony Campolo, and I'm a developer advocate at Edgio.
And our usual co-host as well, Scott Steinlage, is unavailable to join us today. But will be joining us in spirit. So, and he usually does the intros and outros. And so, I'll just be filling in on that duty for today. But with that said, Anthony, you want to start us off with, the JavaScript story of the week?
Yeah, sure. And it's funny, I only ended up seeing this because I was on Ryan Carniato's stream the other day. I was on to talk about Redwood, and when you're on his stream, you end up talking about all sorts of things. I think it ended up being like 4.5 hour long stream, and at one point he had mentioned that there was like this new version out of Solid Start that was like a really big deal, but it was kind of like under the radar. And so I went and looked it up. I thought this is funny. It's 0.3.1, and the last version was like 1.7 or something. So something happened to their December that went very wrong. I'm not sure what. But yeah, the idea with this one is, I think they're kind of just like cleaning up some old technical debt, but that now they're basically in the position to have the framework be where it's kind of going to end up. And by that, like the framework went through some kind of like internal shifts recently. This wasn't very well publicized, and I couldn't really find many good like links to actually prove this is the case, but they have migrated to basically use Astro under the hood. And I think one of the main reasons that this is important is because it's going to affect their strategy around islands and partial hydration. So this is basically how we're going to have the JavaScript be more self-contained to specific islands. And this is actually interesting because it kind of got paired with Fresh, because Fresh does a similar thing where you kind of like very clearly specify when is something an island and when is it not. And then you're allowed to kind of like scope your JavaScript to just specific places so you don't end up bloating your bundle with too much JavaScript. And he also mentions that there's updated docs, new movies app, which is kind of like this new app that everyone's kind of using to like compare their frameworks to each other. And yeah, and then things like, you know, they're on node 18 now instead of 16. So in one sense, it's kind of just like a technical kind of upgrade, but at the same time, it's if you're someone who's been watching Solid Start and a bit like curious about it and like wondering when it's gonna like get out of beta and stuff like that, and it seems like it's signaling that the framework is gonna be in a really good place. And this also goes along with, it's probably worth mentioning that Solid was picked up by Google as a project that's being like funded for research into web performance, which I think is pretty interesting. I'll link that as well.
Yeah, actually, let me. I have a couple of thoughts. Like, I did not know that Astro connection. That I want to dig into. But before we dig into that, and while you're posting that up, I think maybe I'll just unpack a couple things here for the audience who may not be aware of Solid. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually haven't used Solid, but I'm a big fan of kind of the work that I've seen on it. I've kind of watched a number of tutorials on it. I've seen the performance metrics. So, Solid is one of these React alternatives to React as a, front-end framework. And Solid Start is kind of its equivalent of Next. Like React is to Next.js as Solid is to Solid Start. So it's kind of your end-to-end framework, full stack framework. And what's notable about Solid is it's got really amazing performance as a front-end framework and has for a while, incorporating really novel ideas on making reactivity a first-class primitive in a way that React, despite its name, does not. And it does it though with a very close to React-like API. So if you're, struggling with performance with React and you want something that has a similar API and you like kind of the way, you're used to coding, Solid is a definitely something worth taking a look at. And when you look at front-end performance metrics, Solid is usually, in the top three, if not at least the last time I looked, for if not, in the number one for various comparisons and benchmarks on performance. So it's an extremely performant framework, and it's largely been the brainchild of this one guy, Ryan Carniato, who by the way, has been a guest on JavaScript Jam in the past. If you go to our website and you go to the podcast tab, you'll see a list of kind of folks who've had as guests before. And Ryan came on a couple of years ago and gave a demo of Solid and its benefits. So definitely encourage folks to check that out if you're not aware of Solid. But it's definitely one of the interesting and hot frameworks. And given that it's so been so performance focused, I'm kind of not surprised that Google with Project Aurora has stepped in and said, hey, we're gonna help support it. I think that's really valuable for the web. Even if, I'll say this, even if you don't use Solid, its ideas really help push other frameworks forward. So it's always valuable to pay attention to what Ryan's up to. So just some context for folks. I guess the question I have is, I did not realize, first of all, that they had moved to Astro under the hood. And he's like, is that, what do you think was the motivating factor there?
I think There's probably a couple. I know that Ryan has said before that he didn't want to create Solid Star and that he like waited a really long time because he wanted someone else to make it for him, essentially. Because Metaframework is a very large, complicated endeavor, and Solid was never really meant to be that. It was meant to be like React, as you said. React is to Next as Solid is to Solid Start. So I think Astro allows them to lean really heavily on the work that's being done by that team and has been done. And I know that when Astro first came out, Ryan was looking at it and he was like, "Oh, you guys can basically do your own version of React Server Components if like you do this, this, and this." And at the time, he said the Astro team was like, "What are you talking about?" But that they kind of like they understand it more now, kind of what he's getting at. So I think he's also trying to like get this new kind of like server component thing figured out, because Astro is like uniquely positioned in that it's kind of like a static site generator, but it does have, a node server in it technically, so you could do server-side rendering. And yeah, so I only heard about this because, I know most of these people and I hang out with them in Discords and, see what people talk about on Twitter. And people like Theo were mentioning how it was going to be Solid Start was going to be using Astro and Bling. And I think this is related to the new TanStack router. So yeah, and they never really they didn't write a blog post about this. They didn't really publicize it very well. So for a while, I wasn't sure if it was like even true or not. I'm assuming it is because I think I've heard Ryan talk about it, but it's not been very well publicized. So I think that, just getting a strong base underneath the framework can be very useful, and then it's kind of like fills in the pieces that Solid Start still needed to figure out, things like partial hydration and that sort of stuff. So I imagine that's probably also a big part of it.
Do you think so? I'm really like, what am I trying to say? I'm really curious about, Astro is really interesting because it's the meta framework. It's the meta framework. It supports multiple, frameworks. It supports Solid. It supports React. It supports Vue. You kind of can have. You can kind of come and choose whichever of those front-end frameworks you want to use within the ecosystem of Astro. And so I guess I'm wondering if we'll see other, frameworks potentially adopt this, and Astro's future might be it's the, pillar on which other frameworks get installed in the front end or are built without having to build up all the tooling required for a true meta framework. Do you feel like that's a trend, or is this like a one-off? Like, could we see that happening in the future?
Maybe. I mean, if it becomes a trend, it'll be a trend, So I think right now it's kind of hard to say. I think it's a smart idea, and I think other frameworks would be, it would be in their interest to try and figure out how to leverage the work of other frameworks for sure. I think that some framework authors just have this like weird control issue where they'd be like, "Oh, Astro's a company with VC backing, so I could never trust them or what they're going to do or whether we're going to be aligned." And so I think that's probably something that we'll have to fight against. But yeah, I think it makes sense for like open source in general. Usually a framework is just a combination of other open source libraries, So it's not really that unique in that sense, but meta frameworks have tended to kind of own the whole pie themselves traditionally.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Astro is built on Vite, is that correct? Or am I misremembering?
Yes, yeah, it was originally built on
Yes.
Snowpack, and then Vite came around, basically a better version of Snowpack, and then the whole ecosystem kind of had shifted over. So at a certain point, they're like, hey, even though we invent Snowpack, we gotta ditch Snowpack.
Yeah, so it's like instead of having to, piece all those things together and build on top of, and I remember people predicting Vite was basically going to create an explosion of metaphor frameworks to make it a lot easier. But
And it
it
totally
may turn out to
did.
be,
Like,
it did, I
it
guess, yeah.
absolutely did, yeah.
I guess what's fascinating to me is maybe Astro will do that as well by even bundling more things. Rather than having to start with Vite, you start with Astro, and then you can go to town, and we'll have, just another fractal dimension at which the JavaScript ecosystem creates new frameworks. And then you had mentioned you were on Ryan's his stream. I have not got a chance to watch that. What else did you guys talk about?
My internet is going a little wacky. I'm not sure if you can hear me. I can't hear you right now.
Oh, can you hear me now? I have no idea which one of us will land up on the recording. This sometimes happens, folks, with Twitter Spaces, or should I say,
Testing, testing.
X Spaces. Can you hear me now? Let's see. Can you hear me now? Okay, this is where we play the technical difficulties music.
Ew.
Let's
It's doing
see.
that thing where I think you're talking, but I can't hear you. But because I'm the host, I can't leave and come back. I'm
Yeah,
not really sure what to
that.
do about that.
That's a great question. Let's see, what should you do?
I'm
Well,
inviting some other people up to come save my butt.
let's see if we can get you back to getting your audio.
Hey guys, I could hear both of you, but apparently you can't hear each
You
other.
can hear both of us. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is, you can be our translator, like in the
Yeah,
movies.
I can't hear you, Sean. So,
Okay.
oh wait, but you guys can both hear me.
Yes, we can both
Yes.
hear you.
So we can do
It's
this game of
hilarious.
telephone.
I'm having a
Yeah.
seance.
All
That's
this great
funny.
technology, and we're basically back to the telephone game. Just literally. Well, normally, what would be crazy is if Anthony logged in with his web browser, he could hear me through there, and then he could speak through his phone if he can manage the feedback. But that might be too complicated. But yeah, normally the solution to this is you leave and come back. I can hear Anthony, so I think it's on his end. I've never had this happen to the host though. And so normally the solution is you leave and you come back and then everything's fine.
But okay, let me relay that to Anthony. Yeah,
Oh wait, I have
so
a suggestion for him. Maybe he should try this. Switch from Wi-Fi to cell network or cell network to Wi-Fi. And that might not disconnect him,
wait,
but
hold on.
kick the
Okay,
network
so I
stack.
can hear Ishan if I listen through my computer through my own account.
Yes. Okay. So you had the same idea that I
Yeah.
suggested. So great minds think alike. Okay. So I was just telling Jason, who's one of our regulars, thank you, Jason, to communicate to Anthony that you could log in with your web browser to hear me, because I can hear you. But what you should try doing on your phone is switching from LTE to Wi-Fi or vice versa, and that might kick the networking stack enough or reset without actually logging you out so that it will reconnect the other stream of audio that seems to be locked. Does that make sense? I'm guessing he's trying it.
Yeah, maybe. Anthony, did you get all that? Must
Well, he
not.
won't be able to tell us
That's
because
true.
he can only hear through the web
Yeah,
browser.
and I think this is actually usually when I get kicked off, what happens is I have a brief moment like that in my house where the Wi-Fi gets a little funky, and then this happens.
So are you trying that idea? Are you switching the connectivity? Just a theory that it might work.
Yes, I am trying that idea, and it didn't seem to make a
Okay.
difference on my phone.
Oh, that's killing me. Okay.
And if Anthony drops, I mean, if the JavaScript host account drops, then we all go away. The space ends.
Then we all go away. It's
Yeah.
like Zoom when the host ends. Well, we need that technical difficulties music. I don't know the best way to try and reconnect. Hopefully we'll just Anthony, how well can you deal with the two audio streams coming from two different devices right now? Think there's our answer.
And I'm in a ho on hotel Wi-Fi with poor signal,
I
so
could probably handle it. It's just
who
gonna be
knows
hard
how well.
to answer in real time because there's such a huge delay.
Okay. Well, so we'll just be on a high latency connection. Well, we're almost at our halfway point, so I will do our station break. For those of you just tuning in, this is JavaScript Jam. We are in Twitter space, or I should say X space. That is an open mic for anything web development or JavaScript related. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, we want to hear from you. Feel free to raise your hand. We're happy to bring you up to the stage. Anything that's about web development or JavaScript can be on topic. We have plenty of beginners asking about how to break into the industry. Or if we talk about something where you're like, wait, what is that thing? I don't know much about it. We're happy to stop and answer it and provide more context. And then if you haven't already, I'd encourage you to go to our website, javascriptjam.com, and you can subscribe to the newsletter that Anthony puts together and usually is our jumping off point for discussions when we do not have a guest. And that's the other benefit is very often we have guests on JavaScript Jam, whether it's here in the space or on the podcast, we've had creators of frameworks, whether it's the creator of Vue or the creator of Solid.js, like we were just talking about, or people who are giving talks at upcoming conferences. So, for example, React Rally was a recent conference where we had a bunch of the speakers participate a couple weeks to talk about what they were going to talk about. And so it's a great way to connect with folks, even if you're not going to be there at the conference, to kind of get a little bit of the hallway track, so to speak, with some of the speakers live. So go to the website, javascriptjam.com, and subscribe and get all that goodness. With that being said, Anthony, has your audio improved? I'm going to take that as a no.
Yep, I
Nope.
can. Yeah, so I can still hear you through my computer. It's just a
Okay.
bit of a delay. You should continue on with whatever your
There's a delay.
thoughts were on
Yeah,
Solid
so
Start.
well the thing I was actually gonna switch over to is that you were on Ryan's you mentioned you were on Ryan's stream. And I wanted to just have you give folks a preview or what else you talked about with Ryan on the stream and why, what you guys talked about and give folks kind of a pitch for why they should tune into that.
Yeah, so we talked about Redwood V6. So this is super duper exciting. And I'm going to mute myself for a second, so, or mute my computer for a second, so I'm not hearing my own voice come through. So Redwood V6 is a super sweet new version of Redwood. We covered it in a previous issue of JavaScript Jam. And I've been really excited for this release because it is the first time where we are officially on Vite. We've had experimental support for it since V4, but now it's actually like built into the framework, full stop. And that's been really important in terms of getting us ready for things like server-side rendering and this new kind of React server component world. So we were talking about React server components before V6, and this version does not get us all the way there. I think V7 is what we're shooting for when we're officially on. I just realized he spelled my name wrong. Whoops. Anyway. So it's getting us set up for React server components. It includes Vite. And it was a fun stream because, you know, Ryan knows nothing about Redwood at all. He's not really like a GraphQL guy either. So it's a very different framework from all the other kind of frameworks he's had. And this is going to be hopefully the way to do React server components with GraphQL. So yeah, I am going to share the link to that talk. I posted on my own. Let me actually, that's probably fine. Where did I post that? Okay. Huh. Oh, there we go. I responded to this. There we go. Okay. So yeah, thoughts.
Yeah, so it goes, we should just mention for the audience that Anthony is a core member of the Redwood JS team, and has been for quite a while. So it's really exciting that you guys are adopting React server components. I was curious if you could help us understand, or maybe tell the audience why, you know, now Redwood.js is incorporating React server components. Did something change? Were you waiting to see if it was really going to get adoption? You know, Next.js was famously the first out of the gate. And some other frameworks kind of, you know, that won't be named, kind of, I wouldn't say rejected, but were taking more wait and see. They weren't sure that was the right way to go. But it seems like the tide is turning. And people are definitely getting on board with it. At least the frameworks, I should say, are getting on board with it. Do you want to like comment from, you know, your perspective or from the Redwood.js perspective as to why now, or what you think is, you know, whether it's just Redwood's adoption or all frameworks as a whole towards server components?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that, you know, the biggest thing that changed is people finally cared, I think. Like, you know, most of the Redwood team is not really that big into, like, chasing whatever the latest kind of trend or fad is in the front-end world. And in many ways, it's a very conservative framework, actually. And so when React Server Components was first announced, there was actually someone on the team who was really, really fired up about it. And from like the day it was announced, he was very convinced that this was going to be the future. His name's Aldo. He ends up passing away, unfortunately, in 2021 or 2022. And, you know, if he had not, I'd be kind of, you know, I'm not sure how much he would have pushed to like get us onto React Server Components sooner, or if it would have made no difference. But, you know, I think the main thing that changed is that everyone was talking about it, and that Next was doing it, and Next a lot of people see as running away with the game when it comes to React frameworks. So yeah, I wasn't, you know, I go to less Redwood events and meetings and things like that than I used to, so I wasn't really in the conversations where they decided to finally go with React Server Components. So I'm kind of speculating here, but I would assume that once it became clear that this is the direction Next was going, and that this is the direction that most of the React ecosystem was going to go, they were like, well, we're going to have to do this eventually, so we might as well do it now and then get some sweet publicity around it.
Do you want to also mention for folks that the Redwood JS conference is coming up?
Yes, yeah. I will definitely drop a link for that. We have the first ever Redwood JS Conf, which is super exciting. This is, we had a kind of like team meetup last year in October. This is the first like conference. And yeah, we have, if you look at our partners, you know, we have pretty sweet lineup, and it's going to have talks, it's going to have, you know, all the stuff a normal conference has. Let me put down Jumbotron. So yeah, people should definitely check it out. I unfortunately am not going to be able to be there because it is during my honeymoon. I'm getting married in a week and a half. So yeah, also I see Saban is on here, looks like, as the speaker. So that's exciting. Yeah, someone in the crowd will be at this conference.
Yeah, I see. I know C and a few others joined. For those of you who just joined us, we're dealing with some technical difficulties. You know, Anthony as the host, unfortunately, it glitched for him partway through the stream, and he cannot hear me, but he can speak, and so he's logged into his computer, hears it through his computer, and then talks through his phone. So when I ask a question, or if you ask him a question, just expect a little latency for him to respond. I will reiterate, you know, I see a bunch of regulars, feel free to raise your hand. We'll bring you up to the floor to speak on either anything that was in the newsletter or anything else that you feel is useful or interesting to talk about this week in JavaScript. Is there anything else that you felt was notable from this week's newsletter that you wanted to discuss or call out, Anthony, while we're waiting for other folks to bring up or raise their hand?
Yeah, so we had Fresh 1.4 was released, and this is not like a big, you know, like it's not like, you know, changing anything major about the framework, but it has the introduction of things like view transitions, so getting us closer to a, you know, SPA-like experience with more of an MPA focused kind of framework. It adds support for layouts. It's funny, we actually, when I was on Ryan's stream, we talked about this. He like hates layouts and like the concept around it. He thinks it's like kind of nonsensical. So we had an interesting conversation around that. And then this thing called defined helper functions, where you can define a route, a layout, or like an app component, and apparently that helps with typing. And then there's this idea called route groups for co-locating islands and components together. So this is another framework that is going kind of all in on this islands idea and partial hydration, having kind of like places where you need interactivity be very cordoned off from other parts of your app where you don't need interactivity. So yeah, I mean, I've been following Dino and Fresh for a while, and I think it's a really interesting framework that's kind of like the odd man out in a lot of ways, because, you know, it's not Node and all these other frameworks are all Node frameworks. So I think it's always an interesting one to kind of keep your eye on.
Do you have a sense of how much Dino usage there is that is Fresh versus is not? So are people using Fresh, like, I assume almost nobody's using Fresh without Dino. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm wondering how critical to their adoption it's the Fresh plus Dino together as a, you know, holistic stack versus, you know, some people are just using Dino by itself with something else versus using Dino with Fresh. Like, how core to its adoption is the two bundled together in your sense?
It's, you know, it's hard for me to say without data, and I don't really know many people in general who use Dino or Fresh. You know, I would say if you're using Dino and you're building a full stack web app, it'd be very silly not to use Fresh. And then if you're using Fresh by default, you're using Dino. So I know that the Dino team themselves thought that Fresh was going to be very important for the adoption of Dino. But yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, I would guess that it probably has moved the needle in terms of people who wanted to use Dino and kind of needed an excuse to move their company or their team or whatever to it, having a batteries included framework, similar to what you would get in the Node ecosystem, probably would help move the needle in terms of letting people kind of make the case for the framework. But I don't really have a sense whether, like, you know, 10% of Dino users are on Fresh or 90%, you know. Also, hello,
Jim. Yeah, I think you've kind of answered the question, which is that the at least thesis was that it was going to be important to adoption to not just give people, you know, the server-side runtime of Dino, but to also give
them a framework.
I don't
know if
that
was my cue to come up and say hi.
Oh,
but
go ahead, Jen.
I'm going to take it, or I just now can't hear people. So if I'm talking over others, I'm sorry, but I just came up here to say, yay, Anthony's getting married in a week and a half, and to give Anthony a shout out because JavaScript wow, I can't even say what you guys do. JavaScript Jam is super dope, and Anthony, I just launched the Ivan live stream today.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can hear you. I can hear you, by the way. That's nice. I can probably talk to a person. Can you hear
each other? Yeah, I can hear you. I can totally hear you.
I don't think you can hear me.
And I just wanted to come and say thank you because this journey started a year ago. A little over a year ago, and it's just bananas, and thank you, and y'all should go follow Anthony because he does dope shit. And then also, I know Sabin left Prisma, but Sabin, we used Prisma as part of the live stream today, so I need to learn to unassociate Prisma with you. It might take me a minute, but I was like, oh, Prisma! And then it makes me think of Sabin. But anywho, we did using Netlify to deploy a Next.js app with Prisma, or with Prisma, with Postgres and Redis with Prisma. It was fun.
That's exciting. So the live stream, is it going to be on a schedule or is it going to be just kind of whatever you feel like it? Also, I realize that since I can hear you, maybe if Ishan leaves and comes back, I would be able to hear him. So you should try that, Ishan, and then continue, Jen.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be biweekly for now on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific. I'll be hosting it, and then eventually it will be every 2 weeks, two different time zones. So, like, 7 a.m. Pacific 1 week, and then, like, we'll say 7 p.m. Pacific the following week. So we hit multiple time zones. And then I'm still keeping up with Teach Gen Tech. And once I get unstuck with this API call that Roy has been trying to help me learn and not give me the answer for, I will have my website.
What API is it?
It's an Strappy API call. It's not the, like, API itself. It's me not knowing API calls very well, I think is how I say it, the query, because it needs filtering. And every time I look at it, I only have, like, not enough time to actually dig into it. So
Are you using it, like, what do you, how are you hitting the endpoint? Are you using, like, a React app?
Next.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you just gotta figure out basically how you do it next then.
Yeah, it's, I'm not even getting it in Postman to query it. So it's also
interesting. Yeah, like usually you hit the endpoint and it gives you the data. So that's
well, yeah, I can get all the data from there. I just can't filter it with my call testing it through Postman.
So if you're using GraphQL, you would just give it the query you want and it would give you the exact data. There you don't need to filter.
You know what? I'm going to learn it all. We're going to get there. I'm a year in. But I just, yeah, wanted to come say thank you so much for the encouragement. And y'all, it's just bananas to think that a year ago, I didn't even know what Twitter was. And little over a year ago, year and a half ago. So.
And now Twitter doesn't even exist anymore.
I'm still going to call it Twitter.
Well, thank you for the thanks. And I'm very happy to see where you're at and all the success you've had. I figured that this would happen. So I'm glad to see that, you know, when I give people advice, it is actually good advice. Because that's the thing, I tell people that you shouldn't listen to advice. That actually, I think most of the advice they get throughout their life is actually bad advice. And knowing how to tell the difference between good advice and bad advice is actually very, very hard to do. So I try very hard to give good advice when I do give advice.
I would say that it's also more than advice. It's also believing in someone and people saying, hey, here's the advice, but do what you want. Because that reminder will allow people to go back to them, even if they didn't do their advice, because that I feel like brings a lot of shame or a lot of distance when people are like, well, I told you to do this and you didn't do this. So why am I going to help you in the future? Because we all have to, you know, make our own mistakes and learn the way we learn. And I appreciate that at the same time you did that too, because I was like, sometimes you would tell me to do something and I'd be like, no, I'm going to try it this way. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work, but you know, we got there. And thank you for the freedom of the ability to make my own mistakes. And for context, for those who don't know, Anthony was the second person on my live stream and also was probably the guest that's been on the show the second most.
I think both Josh and Laura have me beat.
Yeah, that's true. I always forget about Laura's because we stopped doing it for so long. But Josh has been on the show quite a bit and it's still on the show.
Yeah, and learning TypeScript is more useful than learning Python, which is a lot because I usually tell people not to learn TypeScript.
Yeah. I'm giving my first talk, tech talk at TypeScript Congress about lessons learned learning live.
Oh, that's awesome. That's going to be a really good one because TypeScript is so hard to learn. Like, it is very, very challenging. So you'll have a lot of good perspective on that.
Yeah. So thank you, Anthony.
Ishan, can you try speaking? Can I hear you?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes. Okay. So that's the trick. Wow. Even though the host can never leave, if everyone else leaves and comes back, it fixes the host connection. So now we know.
There's one of my favorite computer science jokes is basically, you know, a computer scientist, an electrical engineer, and a mechanical engineer are in a car and it stops working. And the mechanical engineer says it's in the engine and goes, can't fix it. The electrical engineer says it's spark plugs, can't fix it. And they look at the computer scientist and says, I don't know, but if we all get out of the car and get back in again, maybe it'll start working.
I've never heard that one before. That's a great joke.
Yeah, so I mean, that's basically what we need to do, except the car is the Twitter space. Well, this is great.
Someone join John and Digit. Hello. Can you hear us? Can I hear you? Also, you seem like you kind of cut out there for a second, Isha. I'm not sure if you're still talking.
Yeah, I was like, where'd he go? He disappeared.
Yeah, I thought it was me. He cut out too for me.
I think I can't hear Jason anymore.
I can hear Jason.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Jason.
Man, Jason, ghost you should leave and then come back because I can't hear you right now. And was John speaking?
I'll drop out and see what happens.
Hey, John. Welcome to the stage. Can you hear us? Can you give us a thumbs up or something, letting us know you can hear us?
I also got Carol up here. Okay, do either of the guests or the people who just came up have anything to say? Slash, can I hear them? Let's see. Carol, can you try speaking?
Hi, hello.
Hey, what's up, man? You want to introduce yourself to the audience?
I'm an operations analyst, and I'm learning software development. Actually, I do some development at work, but I have a question, as I've noticed that, you know, you all are experienced guys talking about the tools that I don't even know about or didn't have a time yet to learn. I have a question. Did you ever try to, you know, build your own application, your own idea? And probably you did. But when you're doing it, are you using a lot of the ready tools? For example, because I'm thinking about creating something that will automate some tasks, and I know that I could build, you know, my own with Python or JavaScript as well. But my question is, do you use things like Zapier, HubSpot, and other things like you know, ready product and integrating it with your apps, or are you building from the scratch?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, obviously it's always going to kind of depend on a lot of different things. I would say the thing that is most important to balance, in my opinion, when it comes to things like this, especially when you're building something yourself, is the trade-off of time versus cost, and that, and along with like maintainability. So if you're trying to do something that you could do on Zapier, if you just log in and like click a button and then it's done, and then it's always going to work exactly the same way, and there's always going to be this company that's going to do it, then that could be worth it. If building it yourself might take, you know, a while, or may involve having to like maintain this code in the future. And then, you know, if there is a service that does it, but say it's like, you know, $100 a month, and you're like, well, I can code this myself in like a couple of days, and then I don't have to pay this, you know, large monthly charge, then that could be a really good idea. So I would say, you know, if you're trying to actually build an app that does a thing, then you have a goal. You know what you're trying to build, you know what it needs to do, and you want to do it as quickly and as cheaply as possible. So that is kind of what I would say can guide you in that direction, is the trade-off of time, cost, and maintainability. Also, what's up, Saban?
What's up? I have a pretty strong opinion on this, actually, and that is that there seems to be, in the community in general, there seems to be a lot of fear about using these, you know, ready-to-go services, you know, SaaS products out there, because they're kind of black box. You don't know what they're doing under the hood. You don't know if they're as performant as they could be, stuff like that. There's just a million things to consider. But I mean, over the years working at a bunch of companies, big and small, I found that these products are perfectly fine to use. For example, the new company I'm working at right now, ShopMonkey, they have tons of customers. They handle, you know, billions of dollars a year in transactions, and they're using Zapier. They're using even like small products, newer products and SaaS like that.
Yeah, I think for companies, they are very comfortable not coding things themselves.
Right, yeah. And it goes down to what you said, that, you know, is it worth the time to build it on your own? And are you going to do it right? If there's any doubt on either of those things, reach for the product that you don't have to build on your own. You know, let someone else handle it so you can focus on your core business needs. And then if things are successful and your product starts to take off, that's when you might consider, okay, maybe we could build a custom version of this that fits exactly our needs. But until you reach that point, I don't think it's very necessary at all to reinvent a wheel.
Great, guys. Thanks for the answers. You basically were answering what I was thinking about, but you know, I wanted to have a experienced people opinion. So thanks for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's always good to get a gut check on those type of things. John, do you have something you wanted to add? I'm not sure if they have access to their mic or whatnot. So Saban, you're at a new company now. How'd that happen?
Yeah, was just looking to get back into full-time, full-stack development. It's where my passion is. I really enjoy developer advocacy, and I still plan on doing all of that kind of stuff sort of on my own. But I missed the day-to-day of just working on a team, working on a product, on the engineering side of things. So that's where I went back.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I definitely always saw you as like a DevRelly kind of person, but I know you and I have talked before, and I think you told me that you were doing, you know, more kind of straight engineering beforehand.
I've been working in engineering.
I lost all my sound. I can't hear anybody. People are dropping off and joining. I have no idea what's happening right now.
I couldn't hear anyone as well.
There we go. Now I can hear you guys.
Yeah, I think I consistently will get audio back, and then I'll be unable to hear people, or people will be unable to hear me. I think we've had like, I don't know, one incident every 10 minutes. I'm ready to call it a day for today. The spaces is particularly ineffective yeah. today.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah, I had to drop and rejoin because I lost audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, oh, wait, here we go. Saban's coming back now.
We're all getting out of the car and getting back in again. But like,
eventually the driver is going to get out and the car is going to keep going.
Exactly, and the car will just keep rolling down the hill. But let's see if we get him back, and then I think we should maybe wrap it up before it pulls in.
Yeah, Saban, can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can.
All right, cool. Yeah, you were talking about doing engineering before DevRel. That was last I heard.
I think that was pretty much where I left off, unless I cut off mid-sentence.
Okay, cool. Oh, I did have a question. So if you do DevRel in your own time for your own, you know, kind of interests, what would that, like, I'm sure, you know, you don't have a super fleshed out plan yet, but like, what's your kind of gut in terms of like, would you focus on like just kind of like streaming and, you know, bring on guests? Would you, you know, write? Would you build stuff? Like, do you have an idea of like, if you could just do DevRel however you want, and you didn't have any of a company dictating your kind of goals, like what do you think you would do?
Yeah, I think probably mostly writing. That's what I enjoy to do the most. Also just, I mean, the number one thing about being in DevRel is just being in tune with the community, which I think a lot of people in the community take for granted. The majority of the people like actually in the workforce working have no clue that there's such a healthy, thriving community, especially on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. So just making sure to stay involved here and continue to grow sort of my roots. That's what I'll be focusing on.
That's awesome. Such a good answer and very Saban-like. You are someone who I think of as being very present in the community. And I like that you say how like a lot of people don't really appreciate like how many people are like out here like talking about tech every single day, you know, and are very, very engaged. So that's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, great. I think we could close it out here. I'm very done with this space. You want to lead us out, Ishan?
Yeah. So, well, thank you everybody who stuck with us through all the technical difficulties we had here on Twitter Spaces, or should I say X Spaces. Sometimes that happens. Today was probably pretty notable. Usually we don't usually get one or two. But thank you for sticking with us. If you got any value out of any of our speakers today, you know, click on their face and follow them. I'd encourage you as well to tune into a future or even past episode of JavaScript Jam. Just go to the website. You can see some of our other episodes in the past. Usually we don't have as many of these and the discussion gets to flow a little more naturally than we had to deal with today. But either way, go to the website, javascriptjam.com, and subscribe, and you'll get the newsletter. Which is a great way to keep up to date on everything that's happened in web dev and JavaScript land. With that, we look forward to talking with you guys all next week, hopefully in a glitch-free Twitter space, 12 p.m. on Wednesdays, Pacific Standard Time. With that, thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one. We'll catch you next time.